Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa.
Matt.
And Jenna.
What am I walking into? Jesus Christ, Salsa.
Aw, shit. Who invited him?
We are joined this week by the lovely and talented C.D. Scotchbringer.
Hi.
Who, guess what he brought?
In a world where pudding. He brings scotch, we scotch get pudding. Drunk.
Didn't we do puddings of some alcoholic sort once?
Yes, we did.
God, we've done a lot of shit. All right. Anyway, hi, Cedius.
How did I miss the alcoholic pudding?
I don't know if you missed it.
I don't. Was it pudding or was it
I
pie?
Can't remember.
It was
we had the pies. The pies were great.
But it was like pudding pie.
Yeah, yes, maybe I'm conflating the two because Shay made those. Those were good.
Yeah.
I thought I remembered something like snack pack level of pudding that we tried to do.
Shay
made tasty shit and she didn't come on my show.
She makes all kinds of good shit.
Same Shay.
Now we're going to do
it. Still walk around the fest. Yeah. Improvising all that.
Damn it, Shay.
She's the best, yeah. Hit her up. Yeah. You can get some of that. It was good.
Well, no, she was just on my show last night,
which
will go live on a day or two from now.
Yeah, but did you have a pie month?
No.
Well, there you go.
I do Scotch month every month for some reason.
I mean, Scotch month every month is not a bad idea.
Well,
good plan.
It's really not.
It does.
Every day is Scotch day.
It's Scotch day.
After a while, though, I forget what other boozes taste like.
That's true.
Which is kind of the problem.
You go on vacation and you have vodka day. I had a guy in work today come in, and we get a lot of people with different accents from all over the place. And this guy was like, I'll have an Italian. And I was like, you've got that indescribable Tom Lennon accent day accent. And he's, I'll have an Italian. And I was like, original or big size? Original. Regular multigrain or flatbread? Regular. and it was like, but it was totally done in the not as cheesy as I'm doing it, but so close to the cheesy fake accent we do. And I'm just like, the guy walks away and I'm like, his accent day.
He wasn't affecting it.
This was just his real accent.
Wow, wow.
And I was like,
or was it?
And it was like the perfect set of words that he could throw a little rolled R into and made me super happy.
What if he actually knew you?
That would have been the... If I get an email that someone trolled me yesterday at work, that'd be the coolest thing ever. I'd be like,
you need
well
to check
done.
Your smock for a Fast Five or something.
Like, where did this come from?
Yes.
Do you wear a smock?
I do not. Can you wear
a smock?
I mean, I can wear an apron, but there's no pockets. I don't think we have any smocks, not even in like the back or anything.
Bullshit.
Because I just wear these
what
shorts
kind
and a
of
red
business
t-shirt.
Doesn't have
I
a
know,
smock?
Right?
I feel like not a lot of places I've worked have had smocks. I had lab coats, which was good for us.
I feel like you
lab coats
have a
are
smock.
The are like smocks 2.0.
That's true.
That's very true.
But if you can't have a lab coat, yeah.
Yeah.
A lab apron coke? Is a mock smock.
A lab coke is also important to stay awake while doing all your labbing.
Yes.
Oh, you went to different coke than I did.
I did that and you totally missed it.
Oh, delightful.
Yep. Behind the computer.
That's true. So we're having a blast.
We should drink.
I think that
we
can should. Only improve.
Why would you drink when you have me on? Oh, wait.
Right.
That's
he answers.
I'm sorry.
His own
why
question.
Are you here again?
I'm sorry.
You drink.
I don't know. Thus far, he hasn't justified his existence.
I'm just gonna unwrap this taco.
Oh no, no. I've justified. You're the one who hasn't gotten around to pouring. I didn't know the guest had to pour. Now, see.
When you're the seediest scotch bringer.
Oh right. I suppose
you gotta bring it, yo.
You gotta bring it.
Fine. I'll
bring
do all the work.
Scotch.
I come over. I bring a
this
bunch
is why
of
it's good to have our Look, regular friends on the show because we can make them do all the work.
I was about to say, you're not really a guest once you have a name.
Yep. Yeah. Well, if you've been nicknamed and you're on frequently. Then
besides, I never assume when people bring booze that there's a right or wrong way to serve it. So
I mean,
always
if
let
Saint
them
Manna
the
Destroyer were to come on the show again, which we should have on the show,
we should. It's been a while.
Damn straight.
If she were to come on. Not only would she pour,
I did come prepared,
but she'd bitch at us for how we do it wrong all the time.
That is true.
No, that's I when people bring booze, I always let them serve it because there may be a correct way. So
the correct way is to open the bottle without breaking the cork off, Perrin. And then to pour the scotch into a glass.
Yes.
I do have a glass of water here, by the way.
Do I smell banana?
I mean, I farted.
Maybe.
Oh, shit. I don't smell anything.
That could be a problem for Salsa.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of get that, John.
Okay. I'm not crazy. Or are we
not like
now?
Laffy Taffy level banana, but
no, I
Your
do. Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, I quite like that.
Oh, that one just kind of disappears.
It really
doesn't
does.
It?
What is this?
This is the Grangestone Master's Selection double cask matured.
Ooh!
Wow! It's the only mature thing in this room.
That is true.
That is quite good.
I actually really like this. Have you done this with water? Do you like that better?
I really like this, and I don't want to experiment with it, really.
We have done it with water. This is one, if I remember correctly, the water does not really do anything brilliant for it.
Okay, good, because I don't want to risk it.
I'll do it.
Do it. You be the on-show space monkey.
He can't smell anything, so it's going to be weird.
My taste buds are all fucked up, so.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I'm eating a taco, so I'm sure I'm not getting the full experience here. But, I mean, it's not like it's so stupid that I can't tell it's good.
Yeah, now, the reason I brought this one in particular on, and I want to see if you guys think I'm crazy. The finish to me, well, okay, about the particular flavor I'm getting.
Oh, about the thing.
You didn't let me finish, woman.
No appreciable difference.
No. With the water. Is the early to mid finish for me has almost a gin note to it. Now, I'm not enough of a gin fan to see.
Like a junipery.
Yeah, it's got a woodsy. Mm-hmm. Pininess to
licking
it.
To me, it's got more of like a cedar woods, which is fine. See, it's the pine woods that I'm just like.
And that's why I said it seems like it's gin, but it's a little more cedar to me, is what I said on the show. Yeah. But it's still, it started gin.
No, I
and
can.
Then
there's a
cedar.
Little right after. There's a little hump right in the middle where I can kind of see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also see how, like, if you don't like gin, this wouldn't offend your sensibilities then. Which
Yeah, no.
See, that might be part of why I like it so much.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Jenna, though. It's more of a cedar.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the difference, is that... Because, you don't get that, like, menthol-y, like, fill your nose as much.
I mean, like, cedar gin is acceptable, but, like, just... It's the pine. I don't like pine. And so when you're, like...
Not even the air fresheners in the cars.
I know. Burn them all. Then it smells like burnt
pine. Your air fresheners be first against the wall in Jenna's revolution.
Yes.
It's a relatively pathetic revolution. The casualties were few.
But pine.
The casualties were coniferous.
Yeah. First they came for our air fresheners, and we said, all right.
All the way down to Christmas trees, bitches.
Said, I'm down. Fine with those.
After they came, that too. Yeah. After they came for the air fresheners, that's just kind of where it ended. It's
kind of sort of petered out.
Yeah,
no one wanted lost to ride a lot of momentum meetings anymore.
Most people didn't even.
People
notice.
Were too busy roasting s'mores over the campfires.
Yeah, it was over. All right. Well, now that we have a classy drink to sip, what's everybody been up to?
I got a cold.
That's good. Good on you.
So last weekend, I'll back up a little bit. The weekend before, we recorded, the episodes of Terms of Disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
At which point in time, in order to reduce the amount of noise in the room, I unplugged the chest freezer.
Oh, foreshadowing.
Yeah, guess what I forgot to do?
Plug it back in?
I forgot to plug it back in.
Yeah. I have that same problem frequently when doing horse show hot dog, except it's only my air conditioner that I forget to plug back in, so I wake up sweating at 3 a.m. But, I mean, while my meat may be spoiled,
no,
I don't have to throw anything out.
Yeah, this was a whole chest freezer full of pork.
Oh.
And it smelled yummy.
That's brutal.
So I had the window open down here with an air blowing out. And
it seems good for now.
Like, yeah, thankfully, this chest freezer has a drain hole in the bottom. So I was, like, pouring water through it and rinsing it out and rinsing it out, and then pouring bleach in there and rinsing it out and rinsing it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a fun night, let me tell you.
That sucks.
But it's all clean now.
I had the inverse experience of that.
You had a whole bunch of melted stuff freeze?
I had a whole bunch of meat that got put into my freezer and is now freezing because my parents gave me my birthday present, which was a cooler full of meat.
That's awesome.
It is pretty much the best thing ever.
That is better than
right?
socks.
Yeah, holy no, it was shit. Really great. Like, don't get me wrong, Mom still wants socks and underwear for Christmas, but birthday meats, I'll take it.
So, birthday meats are pretty much the best meats.
Like, that, we went to Little T's for dinner for my birthday. And they stopped over at my place. We just walked over, and they brought in, like, a cooler. And I was like, oh, my mom probably brought, like, a cake. And she brought some cupcakes. But it was also then underneath that was 15 pounds of hamburger, like, 6-7 steaks, a couple of, like, you know, pork chops with stuffing in them, 3 packages of bacon. And, like, I had difficulty getting my fridge door or my freezer door to stay closed.
Oh, I'll take some of that.
Yeah, this is good.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to actually being able to cook fun things. Instead of just scrabbling together noodles.
Mm-hmm.
So now it'll be noodles with meat on them. It's going to be dope.
Yummy meat.
So yeah, if you ever, if you're ever having difficulty finding that perfect gift for that special someone in your life, remember, meat is always one size fits all. Sage Like Wisdom, brought to you by A1 Podcast.
Jenna had a date like that once?
Also probably true.
That's actually not accurate.
That you had a date like that once?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, not once. No. Nope. That's like the one time I'm not going for that. I'm like, yeah, no.
I got standards, no. Bitches.
I mean, that might be a little too far, but yeah, I've got something resembling not that.
Huh. The specificity is killing me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really bad at improv, you guys. I don't know if you know. They're like, give more details. I'm like, let's go do some stuff.
So anyway, we're probably going to talk a whole lot about the Fringe Festival, because that's what we do.
Fringe?
Festival? Renaissance Festival?
Oh, wait. It's not the Fringe Festival anymore.
We did talk a lot about that, too. So there's always a festival of some type.
I mean, that one I can contribute to the conversation. You go for Ren, and I'm like, oh, shit.
We're going out the 10th?
10th. With all the Fearless folk? Fearless is going to go out on the 10th. So I will be out. I mean, typically I go once, maybe twice a season. One is with my asthma, the dust can get really bad, and it's just not good for me as a
general rule.
Not
this year,
which is why.
It's mud. Yeah. Mud as far as the eye.
We very helpfully transformed all that dust into puddles.
Yeah, I'm told this year so far has been good.
Yeah.
So I fully suspect that the 10th is going to be dry as a bone.
Exactly when it stops. Yeah.
You know,
and then you'll head over to Fringe Central and and have a few pints with all your friends.
Yes, this is true.
I tried not to snort scotch.
I know, I was watching.
And it
Jenna.
Wasn't even that funny. It just caught me at the
right
moment.
It was
right
like, one, scotch up your nose, not good. Two, no. Keyboard.
Right? So it's like, I can't, but then I can't, okay.
You know
bad.
What would make this scotch even better?
More of it?
A side of scotch eggs.
Man, I had scotch eggs this last weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, so did I.
I was very happy.
Oh, did I have scotch eggs.
Did the breading get more breadinger? I feel like there was more of it and it was crunchier than usual.
I feel like...
I don't know. I always
Redinger
get a Dane special.
Is like one of those 17th century poets.
Yes.
Like, yes. Know. And now for a poem.
Ode to a Scotch Egg.
Yep.
Redinger.
He's the guy that like Robbie Burns stole everything from.
Yep. Mm,
totally.
He's the what's that guy to Shakespeare? That everybody says
Marlowe.
Is it Marlowe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jacob Marlowe.
No. Hi. No,
Scrooge's Marlowe. Partner.
Oh boy. I'm going to need you to come in on weekend for the Renaissance Fest.
Sorry.
What the hell is going on with this podcast?
I've got to be at Fringe Central that day.
We're all very tired.
Are you bringing the TPS reports? Because that'd be great.
Set your bar very low.
Actually, oh my God.
That is our theme.
I had... I think I found my quote-unquote bit.
Oh, finally?
Your special
How many
purpose?
Years have you been out at Fest?
Well, new fucking character, okay?
your character's fucking? That's like...
Yeah, that's my bit right there.
Should have gotten onto that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Note to self, stay off street. Okay.
You know, when they say street character, it's not...
Oh, not ghetto? I took that the wrong way.
No, you didn't. I want to see you try to play anything that is not as white male
privileged
as
white as crackers.
Yeah.
No, I... So my character is Russian, and I was on Saturday standing outside the gates... And it was David Traylor, Captain America,
yeah,
and one of the, I believe he's a rookie this year, and they were playing a game wherein one would say, "I'm sorry, I'm late, I was," and then explain the plot of a movie using, except spinning it like it's medieval, you know, times. Sure. So
that's a really good idea.
Then the other person has to guess what movie they're talking about. But interspersed with those, they were telling a bunch of jokes. And David started telling me jokes, and I was like, I'm a Russian guy, and Russians have a morbid sense of humor. Very, very, very dark. And so I just decided that whatever joke he told me, I was going to just answer with the complete, like, straight-edge, like, answer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, what do you call a woman with two legs? Jessica. I don't get your joke. It's not funny. Like, you know, just
in Soviet Russia, we have no humor.
Exactly. Exactly. Just shut every joke down by saying the most stupid, mundane answer to all of the setups.
Nice.
And then I started making up quote-unquote Russian jokes of my own.
We were doing this at backstage at some point, too, because you talked about this. Because
I was talking about really this. Fun. But it was basically, I decided that quote-unquote Russian jokes, the punchline to every joke is everybody's dead or in prison.
Or starving. Or
exactly. or poor. Or something like that.
Yeah. All four.
Yeah. And it was so much fun because they were all of these anti-jokes. And I just I had David just dying.
It was really fun.
And yeah, went backstage and started telling these schmucks. But it was so much fun. And then I started telling Taffy, and every so often during my show, I would stop and tell him a funny Russian joke. And he would just, ugh. Roll nice. His eyes. So that was so much fun. Just standing there shouting these Russian jokes at him on the gate. Because people would walk by and just be like, I don't, what? And some people would walk by and go, oh, I get it.
Yeah. We've been doing a lot of that on the exit gate lately. It's just doing old improv warm-ups that have some kind of a, hey, I'm thinking of a word that rhymes with cat. Are you something I wear on my head? Nope, I'm not a hat.
Do you fly around at night?
I am not a bat. And he just, and people, you know, in the audience.
Are you something that spread the black plague?
I'm not a rat. And, but it's like, okay, that's silly crap we do before we do a show.
Are you the past tense of shit?
I'm not shat.
If it's they made up words in 40s songs.
It's not scat.
Oh, good.
Nice. Oh, and here's the other thing, too, is if we're playing this with folks that are new, I always remind them that it's also contextual. So your scat being wrong does not mean that, like, animal deer poor would be wrong. So, like, if you say scat but your context is wrong, then I still say no, which means you eventually have to circle back around and
oh
go,
my God,
oh, God.
Awful.
Well, one's spelled with a C and one's with a K, so totally different.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought they were both C.
I thought they were both C.
The music one is the K?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I've never seen the music one spelled with a K.
Well, you don't know how to spell it correctly, then.
I'm not saying I've spelled it that way. I'm saying I've never seen it.
Scatman Crothers spells it with a C, for the record. Yeah. I'm just going to
Well, that's
out.
Because he's into fecal matter.
Oh, it's a whole different context. See, that's we've been...
Is that why he has the shine?
I guess. Gives it the powers. But at what cost?
At what cost?
Jeez.
Oh, my God. I played with a little girl on Sunday. Like, she was super bored and just, like, playing on a bed, like, at the lunch tables.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing, like, this dress and everything else, and she was, like, four, and she kept doing this thing where she'd be, like hanging off the table, and her parents started yelling at her for it, so I started doing it.
Of course.
And so then we just, we ended up playing Mirror for, like, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and it was super adorable.
That's a good bit.
but, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of those bits that, like, we all just inherently do, whether we learned it or not.
Yeah. There's mm-hmm. those little quiet moments. You're like, cool, especially playing with kids. You just have to go, well, what do I do with my kids?
Yeah.
Right. And just play the same game in a silly voice.
You just play with
Frankly,
kids.
That's what mm-hmm. I do with adults, too.
Yeah. And honestly, but that's the thing. That's also a good answer. It's like, well, what would I do with my kid right now? I'd make them try to guess what I'm doing.
Experience in this matter.
But, I mean, there's you know, pros and cons to everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, that, or like I said, like, we've been learning that a lot of the silly stuff we do backstage to warm up actually functions as a game you can invite people into, because a lot of it is call and response.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, we've been working way too hard this whole time.
Right.
We could have just been warming up on street, and people would have been vastly more entertained.
I spent fucking 12, 13 years on a stage, and then I get on street, and I go, this is fucking easy.
Yeah, bad jokes, right. And people love it.
Yep. I don't even have to tell the bad jokes. I just need to stand there in the crowd of people and occasionally make a side comment, and I'm helping.
Yep.
I don't have to kill myself five shows a day. What the fuck?
What else happened later?
Like that banana peel.
Oh, fucking banana peel.
But, like, all I had to do was watch you throw a banana peel in front of people and then go, damn it, when they don't step on it. That's all I did for, like, 20 minutes. It was great.
That was really
good. That is a bit I wish I would have seen.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing it whenever someone hands us a banana peel.
Oh, okay.
I got a banana peel from somebody, and now people are starting to hand them to me because they've seen me do it a little bit. And I just take a banana peel, and then as some patron gets within about 20 feet, like, really loud, they go, shh, act casual, act casual. And I very obviously go, and I toss a banana peel so it lands like 10 feet in front of him, and he kind of looks at it and goes, huh. And when they walk by, everybody goes, ah, as we miss. And then they laugh. And then we go pick it up and shh, act casual. Yep. And every now and again, one of them will go, whoa. And we all go, yay! As though we did, like, the funniest thing ever. And you can just sit and do that for a half an hour.
I love doing that when I'm balancing a sword on my head.
Oh, also
because I will always slip on the peel.
Yep.
And I always have to fall in such a way that my sword does not come off of my head.
And then you get that, oh, golf clap.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Very well played.
Yes.
I had a exceptional conversation with Oops after Feast.
He's really fun to talk to.
Just talking shop a little bit and about, you know, sword swallowing. He took classes at Coney Island for sword swallowing, and he's not in practice or anything like that, but you know, knows the art, and we kind of talked shop a little bit and talked about the whole, you know, getting his nuts crushed every day at Feast thing.
Dumbass.
And about, you know, like, how Laszlo has to... Basically, if Laszlo hesitates, it hurts more. Because if he doesn't hit the block hard enough to break it, then the force of the block, the shock goes through the block and into his nuts. But if he hits it hard enough that it breaks, then all the shock is dispersed.
Yeah.
So you have to
actually... Carney's been doing science without knowing.
No, that's exactly it.
Right?
Is in order to hurt less, he has to hit it harder.
Yep. Well, same thing with the whole bed of nails gig.
It's exactly. Like,
that's really sharp, but there's 50 million of them. None of them are causing that much pressure.
But just kind of sitting and chatting about various, you know, things like that, and about Blockhead and all these other...
Yeah. Is he still doing Blockhead out at Fest?
Not out at Fest, not that I know about, but...
I feel like I've seen him do it once, but I could be wrong.
I mean, he can do it.
I saw him do it at a party once. It was kind of gross. I'm like, dude, I'm not here to be entertained in that way.
Yeah, just talking shop.
Buy me
for
a drink,
a little
call
bit.
Me
it was
I'm pretty.
A lot of fun.
Nice. Have you gotten a chance to sit down with Rondini yet?
Not yet.
That's the conversation I would love to do a fly on the wall for.
That oh my god. So Friday night when I hopped on the bus, like, guess who was there?
A Rondini?
Yeah. Awesome. And I was like, oh, Salsa wishes he was me right now.
I do. Last time I walked by, I you know, shook his hand, and I was like, hey, how's it going? He was like, you know, pretty good. How are your crowds? And I go, the crowd's getting better. And he goes, no, you're getting better. And I was like, yeah, Rondini said I'm getting better. And then I was like, you know, one of these days when you get a chance, I'd love to sit down and talk to you. And he was like, just talk about street. And I was like, yep. And he goes, anytime, man.
Cool.
And then I was like, I've got to go now.
I'm going to go pee.
Yep.
I need to go change my underwear.
But, I mean, it's seriously, the guy's got, what, 30 years of experience?
That guy's circus as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just, like, to sit on the ground and just listen to him talk about, like, the nuance. That motherfucker, there's one point in his show, so what he does is he does an escape, and he does a straitjacket, and then people chain him up over the top of the straitjacket. And first he escapes from the chains, and once he gets the chains off, he's kneeling there, and he tells the whole crowd to take one step forward. And the whole fucking crowd, in one movement, goes, gunk, and just shrink in around him.
Because they're all that droid from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's absolutely, that's what it is. It's just nice. The whole, he's got, by that point in the show, he's got them so far into his palm that whatever he says, they just do. Well, and they're so wrapped up in what he's doing.
He's created that hard thing of a big yet quiet moment.
Yeah.
And you have to be paying rapt attention or nothing's happening.
Yeah. And he tells everybody move in closer so they can see. And everybody takes a big, giant step forward. And it's a thing to his shoulder
and you get all the...
Yeah, no, that is just before he dislocates his shoulder.
Yeah, yep. Because that's...
Yeah, and that's what he does every show is he dislocates his shoulder.
Yep.
And Taffy, Taffy and I were getting ready for my show. And Taffy, it was so cute because Taffy kept kind of looking at me. And I was like, go ahead. Go ahead, it's okay, go. He was like, okay. I was like, just go. And he was like, okay.
It is really compelling. I don't know, was it last year or the year before where we first, like, noticed him out there? Or was that, like, he's not been there long.
No.
But I remember walking by and going, who the hell is this guy? Didn't know we had an escape dude. And watching the show and just being blown away, like, god damn, this is good.
Yeah.
And it's super conversational.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, every word is perfectly chosen. It's so relaxed.
Yeah. Like, he spends a lot of time just kind of walking around not saying things, you know, and then he'll see somebody and he'll make an offhand comment to them, and then he'll walk around the circle a little bit more and then make an offhand comment to this person, and it's so relaxed, and it's like, how, he's not, He's not yelling. He's not telling everybody to cheer. He's not yet yelling, you know, all these other things that most people do in these situations.
It's a very quiet ballet.
It's very quiet. And you're just like, how is he drawing in this many people doing what he's doing?
30 years from
now. I don't understand. Because, you know, you see his crowd compared to my crowds, and there it's day and night. Mm-hmm. He's got a solid ring of people five deep around him. And it's just like, whatever he's doing, I don't know, but I want to learn.
You do have an act that, fortunately, can be performed in the round when you get to the point where you're pulling full circles of
focus. Oh, yeah.
Like, unlike magic, which has a side that usually has to be protected, like, your thing will be good for that.
And I have. Especially this last weekend, I was getting full circles.
Are you getting circles. Them
yes.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Cetus, what have you been up to lately? Since you've been not squandering your weekends as a filthy carny, perhaps the real world has news.
What?
Well,
tell us the world outside of Fringe Festival. Yeah.
Well,
my pigeons keep not coming back.
I to circle back to his bad joke, I actually was at the Fringe Festival, and then that was what I was doing for a couple of weeks there. I think I caught something like 30 shows,
Jesus.
Including the one where Matt actually acted, which was interesting to see.
I'm putting that on my resume.
To
Kill a Minnesotan, the show where I actually acted. Note the rest of this resume is now superfluous. Fuck.
No, it was fun to see you in a different environment than what I'm accustomed seeing you in. So that was good. The thing that will be the answer to that question had I been here next week versus this week is today my addiction got its new variant.
Okay.
World of Warcraft Legion dropped today.
Oh.
And I, yes, am still playing. So,
I mean, there's still millions playing.
Oh, yeah.
Not as many millions.
No. We'll see.
Is it like, 4 or 5 million still now? As opposed to like 10 at its peak?
It was, I think, 5.5 at the end of where things were sitting that were still regularly subscribed. We got as high as 10 again at the top of the last expansion when everything was shiny and new and everyone was like checking it out.
They come back for like 6 months and play through it.
Yeah, and the top of the expansion, while things were still new and shiny, everything was great. But again, the main problem was they did not push enough new stuff often enough for people who don't have the army of alts that I do.
Sure.
So that seems to be
the same problem that Pokemon Go is running into now, is there's not enough to do, and they're watching their player numbers drop pretty rapidly, is what I understand.
I have managed to avoid the Pokemon craze in its entirety. Part of that was because I joined the Monster Rancher team back when Pokemon was new.
Monster Rancher.
Similar type game where you're still cockfighting monsters, but it's a different... Monster Rancher was the game where you put your other CD in a PlayStation
and that's why I remember that one.
And that was such
awesome. Cool concept. Yeah.
Because I had the music collection of Stupid.
Yep.
And
I had enough CDs I could have gotten the full number of unlockables, but I never ended up buying the game.
Well,
that was always really appealing.
The trick with the unlockables on that one was that there were rare monsters that only came from certain discs, which is why there's certain CDs that you would not expect to see in my collection and do.
It was so what? Like instead of being a Pokemon game where you wander around and by happenstance an RNG, you'd find a monster, you'd be playing the game on your PlayStation, you'd eject the CD from the game, and if you put in a CD, it would read them and realize how many were individual different CDs, and for each individual different CD you put in, you'd spawn a new monster that you could own.
Huh. Oh, my God.
And it was
God.
Up to, like, 250 or 300 or...
Well, there's a certain number you would have in your stable, but basically you could go through everything you had. You said, you want to keep this monster? No.
And it was randomly generated?
No, they were tied to something.
You stick the same disc in, you get the same monster every time. What it did is the ID portion of the disc, which is in the very inside.
No, well, but I mean, it's associated with that disc permanently.
Correct.
But the first time you spawn it, it's random?
No. The first time you spawn it, it's exactly what that disc would have spawned.
Okay, so
everybody's machine will spawn the same thing. So it had a
huge encyclopedia of all of the CDs currently in existence.
It's a logarithm to which the reason they were able to do rares is the way those IDs work. There's essentially a GUID attached to each CD. So for those of you who are not technology people, it's a global universal ID. I think is what the...
I thought you were just saying grid in a funny accent.
It's got a GUID.
It is not accent day for me. It is GUID.
It's GUID.
It's Guido.
Sergeant Guido Saducci.
Wait, Sergeant? He got promoted.
Yeah, I know.
Sergeant.
I don't know. Where's my brain? But no.
He joined the army and became a chaplain.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. There we go. That's my line.
I'll take it. That works.
But
boy, that episode of MASH was weird.
It was very weird.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, so you know, there's a universal identifier on each
right,
city,
yeah.
And so the very specific ones were called out. Otherwise, everything just went into the logarithm, and it spit out a monster.
So there were specific discs that had specific ones, but the rest of them were kind of randomly generated based on the ID.
I mean,
theoretically, you'd have a list of, you know, one to a million, and it just goes, okay, every 34th one is this monster, every whatever.
Okay.
So you'd have it, they'd be consistent because you're just tying any random monster to that number.
But and for all those rare spawns, there was the list of things that were meant to generate the rare spawn. There were other discs that would occasionally do that because the logarithm.
So how did that work? Did those, like, albums pay extra to be the rare ones because suddenly people are going to want to buy those albums
just so they can get
the rare? Or
I'd
like how
Tecmo is not that big a company, so they don't have that kind of pull. My guess is the developers themselves said what would be funny, what would make sense, or what can we troll our user base with?
I see. So they're going to be like, we listen to a lot of Metallica, so the Metallica Black album is too.
But you might also go, it's too popular. You don't want to make it a rare one.
But on the other hand, all of our gamers are you know, really, really are going to hate the fact that we're going to put in, you know,
Mambo number five,
Carmina Burana or something like that.
You're on the right track. So to give you an idea of what some of them
whenever
did,
this came out.
And there's themes that go with it.
Late 90s is this?
This was a late 90s game. So, for instance, NXS Kick created a monster that was a stone disc that looked like a soccer ball.
I get it.
Van Halen's 1984, if you're familiar with the cover art, has a smoking cherub.
Mm.
It made a pixie in the game, which was a monster.
See, this sounds like a
the Spice Girls' first album made a ape that wore a pink shirt and had a pink bow in her hair.
Aww. I feel like if the developers were hipsters,
and
that would have, but that would have absolutely played into it. They would have been like, "Here's this underground band that nobody's heard of. That's what I'm gonna." This indie band from Australia.
Yeah, none of them were that. Everything was a popular artist.
Okay,
and several of the discs are things that people were likely to have. Like, you know, Spice Girls were huge.
Yeah,
a lot of people are going to have that album. A lot of,
but you also need to
a lot of the gamer crowd
weird
that is likely to play this game is not necessarily going to have that album. For instance, I would not have otherwise had Spice Girls' first album.
So you go to like a CD warehouse and try to get it cheap. Yeah.
Also, Hanson's Middle of Nowhere made a rare monster.
Of course.
Now, the thing that made a little bit more sense was that they also did some shameless self-promotion in that certain you could also scan PlayStation games as well as CDs. So Tecmo promoted a game that otherwise likely was not going to get a lot of play.
See, there we go.
And so I had to buy that game.
Exact same thing.
Now, the fun thing with that, it was Tecmo's deception. And for those of you who don't know what the concept of the game is, you make a deal with the devil in order to save your sweetheart, who he's put into a Sleeping Beauty-style sleep.
We've all been there.
By being the monster in the haunted house that's trying to trap the people that are coming to get you.
Huh.
So you play the bad guy.
Interesting. Cool. So kind of a Dungeon Keeper Night Trap situation.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that. That's one of those weird games that I remember reading about at the time and going, this sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
But I was dirt poor because I was just out of high school, so I rarely bought games.
Yeah. And sadly, I don't have a PS1 anymore. Fortunately, a lot of PS1 games can be played on a PS3. Don't recall if that's one of them.
Because
PS2s are backwards compatible, though.
PS2s are backwards compatible. And Megan actually dug hers out and brought it over to my place.
I still have my PS2 down here.
Old, like, Katamari games and stuff lately.
The problem, my PS2 works fine, but my controllers are bad. I need to get
I should see how many she has. If she's got a couple extra good ones.
Does a PS3 controller work on a PS2?
I don't think
so.
Nope.
No, because they're wireless.
Yeah, but they can be plugged in.
But do they have a USB?
It's a USB plug. Yeah,
yeah, it's a different type.
Yeah,
of
plug. I thought it was a different type of plug. If only one of us would bother to walk across the room and look.
There's an adapter.
Yes.
No, one of these days I need to just get a new
I'm sure you can find controller. Like a $5 thing. On
oh yeah. Yeah, go to fucking GameStop. They've
but
got all
I mean,
that
in terms
stuff.
Of that, knowing that WoW was coming out soon, I had to finish getting all the platinum trophies and a couple of my PS4 games. So I'm a big fan of the Legos series.
Lego
of games
are super fun.
So I just finished Legos Avengers and have gotten all of the DLC.
How was Avengers?
One.
Was that good?
That was pretty good. I did like Avengers.
Because they're not all great. Like they're a little uneven. But most of them are good.
They're
all like fine. But like there's
Avengers
better
and Marvel superheroes were pretty good. Batman 3 was pretty decent. The first two Batmans were meh.
I think I've got the
first the Harry Potter ones. Were
the problem with the Batman ones were they were too dark.
Like
not thematically, but yeah, visually they were so dark that there were times where
contrast was an issue.
Exactly, you would jump from the top of a building, you know, to the street level, and you were like, I can't fucking see anything because it's so dark.
Yeah,
I did not particularly
Harry Potter
care for,
was meh.
Yeah,
I didn't dig Harry Potter.
The way the spells worked was not particularly exciting.
It was so annoying,
but. The Star Wars ones were okay.
I got the Star
Force
Wars
Awakens
one.
Was pretty fun. Yeah. I will say
the
that.
Problem with the Harry Potter ones is because there was so much stuff that they were trying to cram onto one controller that it just got to be too much.
Yeah, yeah. That can be a problem too.
And then the Pirates of the Caribbean, I did not particularly.
Oh, you didn't like that one? Yeah. I enjoyed that one. That one was fun.
I didn't play that.
It was
that one. I'm not going to say that one was good, but that one I had a lot of fun.
And Jurassic World is the one that I haven't started yet.
I haven't played that one yet.
And how terrible that movie is. I don't know how motivated
and then
Dementor.
Well, yeah. It's all of the Jurassic Park movies.
Oh, okay. Then that's
but,
some fun.
But at the same time, who cares if you're playing?
It's
Lego
true. It doesn't
games.
Matter all that much.
And then I haven't.
The plot doesn't fucking matter.
I haven't quite finished Dimensions either. And Dimensions is the one that's the you buy all the component pieces.
Yeah. I'm never going to touch that one.
Yeah, don't.
Fuck that.
That one's expensive to get.
I like the idea of that. I just there's no reason I should be spending that much money on that.
My answer was I want that was my what my tax dollars going to go to this year?
Sure.
Toy.
Yeah, you find some kind of
and
little
so
fun
I
thing.
Bought everything.
That'd be fun. Yeah, and that's the thing is it's like I feel like that would be a source of constant frustration to the boy if I had that and then wasn't buying enough interesting new figures. He'd just be like, why do we have this if you're only
well,
have two
especially
things?
At you, his no. age, he'd be like, I'm bored with this one already.
You,
let's move on to the next one.
You can min-max it, and you only have to buy about half the stuff to literally get everything.
Sure.
But there are a few things where you have to have a specific character get it, but it's not that important. No. You can complete the game
I
with
think
the base.
Maybe it's because of how old I am, but DLC just makes me want to
I still don't really care for DLC much either.
Or microtransactions
Awakens,
or anything
microtransactions
like that.
Microtransactions tend to piss me off. DLC, though, sometimes is just good.
As long as the DLC is genuinely something that after they finish the game, they were like, let's add a little bit more. That kind of stuff I don't mind. But when it's like...
You're just unlocking something that's already on the disc.
Exactly. Yeah. That fuck you.
That bothers me.
I hate that shit. Here's spend $5 and you get to run around in your character, but wearing slightly different clothes.
Yeah, the DLC for the Lego games is pretty good. It's just completely new stages that are completely extra. It doesn't matter. The only thing that twerks me then is that it means you can't get the 100% on the game for stuff, even if you have 100% in the base game.
Yeah.
So in terms of looking at... And since I'm an achievement chaser in that way, which is why I don't have a lot of games that are complicated, I only get games that I know I can complete everything, given enough time. So.
I hit 100 in one game just so I could say that I've done it in one game, and then I haven't cared ever since.
There are games I've done it simply because I like playing it enough that, like, I'm, you know, but I don't normally chase after that. I did a little bit of chasing after those things for, like, Binding of Isaac, but that was just my favorite game for, like, 4 years.
Yeah.
So after 300 and some odd hours, you kind of can't help but get almost all the achievements except for the damn near impossible. And it's like, survive through the end of the game without getting hit. I'm like, I'm just never going to be that good.
Yeah.
I'm like two achievements short of all of them.
Rogue Legacy was very similar to that. I just played the shit out of that game until I had most of the stuff. But it was the stuff that you just had to try specifically for this specific, you know.
I think the only reason that I take the PlayStation games as far as I do and I get the simple games so that I can do that is because I know I'm never going to be able to do that in WoW. I was an achievement chaser in WoW for a while, but there's enough out there now that I'm not in the right kind
WoW
of guild
so
to get some
vast.
Of them.
Yeah.
Unless it is your job, you can't.
There are some
WoW.
People who've literally gotten every achievement in the game, and I'm like, okay.
And they don't
level,
do anything else.
That's impressive. On another level, have you ever known the touch of a woman?
Yeah, do you know what that crazy orange ball in the sun?
I hate that. I'm aware of the thing, and I don't like it.
I'm not a fan
games,
either, but yeah.
Know.
Actually, I was noticing this. I think I mentioned before, like a week or two ago, I've been starting to play this War of Mine again, because why not play something super depressing?
Yeah.
But what I like about that is that the... I'm sure I could look up a list online, but on Steam, it doesn't tell you what the locked achievements are.
No.
So you just stumble across them. And, like, that's actually really satisfying. Because sometimes I will, like, oh, I got this achievement. And I'll go look at the ones I've gotten and then see what the other ones are. And if they're not too far out of my way to try it on a playthrough, I'll try to scoop up a couple more. But this one is just, like, no clue what they are. So every now and then I just go ding, and, like, some little thing pops up. And it's like, oh, I didn't know there was an achievement for having someone get to the point of being broken and then talking them back from the brink.
Yeah.
So they're only depressed. like, I guess
you're not going to get any higher than that, but...
But, you know, yeah, but it's interesting. And it keeps you playing the game, or at least keeps me playing the game, in, like, the straightforward way it's intended, which is, like, making some moral choices and trying to survive. And
there was
every now and then I pick up a random achievement. Yeah. It's always kind of fun, but, like, I don't do silly shit just
there was
to
one
it.
In Papers, Please. That was kind of like that.
I've got that and still haven't played it.
Oh, God, that game is so fun.
I've heard a lot about
like
that one.
Hole, I gotta, like, I'd have yeah. to really play it,
it
for a while.
You get sucked down pretty quick, but although that having been said, you get depressed after a little while and you just have to stop.
I like games like that lately, though. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like,
well, then you would love this. But yeah, Papers, Please.
Prison Architect there was
one guy who kept showing up, and every time he showed up, he didn't have the proper documentation. And every day he would show up and be like, let me on in. You're like, nope, you don't have this pass today. And he's like, okay. And he goes away, and next day, let me in. He's got the pass, but it's like handwritten. You're like, nope, that's not going to work either. And day after day after day, he shows up, and every time he's got what you needed yesterday, but he doesn't have what you need today. And finally, one day, he shows up, and he's got the this is like 8 days or something like that, you know. And finally he shows up, he's got all the proper documentation, and I went through it like 3 times going, what am I missing? And finally I was like, well, I guess you can go in. And I let him in, and it was like, blink, achievement.
Oh, for just paying enough attention every time.
Apparently, yeah.
Wow.
Just being that meticulous.
Or not turning him away the last time.
Yeah, but not just rubber stamping.
Exactly,
like, no,
just be like, this guy again, go away. Yeah, it was just like... that was an achievement. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then my general time waster has been Gems of War, which is another Bejeweled clone. It's not unlike Marvel Puzzle Quest,
which
but instead of a Marvel skin, it's an RPG skin.
Yeah. Those are still, to me, like the safest phone game.
Yeah.
Because you can play them for 2 minutes, for 20 minutes, and if you have to just turn it off halfway through the thing, you don't feel bad.
Yep.
Like, those are kind of nice for that.
And I've always been a fan of Bejeweled, so.
There's something, the simplicity there. It's like Tetris. It's like, it's too simple of a concept not to kind of work okay. It's like, it's not always, it's not my, ever going to be my favorite meal, but it'll do for lunch.
Like, it's a snack.
Yeah.
It's candy.
It's fine. We should take a break.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Because my glass is empty.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that?
Mine.
Good job, sir.
We're learning. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Seriously.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Cedius.
Hooray!
And we are the AON Podcast.
Okay, this is bad.
AON Podcast. 91.3.
Well, actually, yeah, no, that works again. No.
Yay. Matt.
We're working on things.
Okay, someone recommended HostGator to me at some point, and I'm beginning to regret that.
Oh, well, you know.
So far, I'm good. So.
Yeah. And so far, a lot of the people are good, but, you know. Whatever.
Just not us.
What are we drinking now?
This is the Aran Malt 10-year. It's a Highland. It's got a vastly different flavor from the last one. Nice compare and contrast. It's also not a peated one.
Oh, wow.
That's
very different.
Yeah. But they have a peated version.
A lot more bite.
Which I've tried. Yeah.
Give me a tiny bit of water.
I want to try the peated version.
I did not bring it with me.
Well, then you're a bitch.
Well, you can stop by sometimes. I have a peated version at home. I know that smacks of effort.
It really does.
We'll
so
report
much.
In.
I don't know. Give me a second.
All right. Maybe next time I know we'll be in the same place, I'll have a flask on.
Okay. Excellent.
I like it better with the water.
Really?
Opens it up just a touch.
Yeah. This is one that I seem to remember that's more than a touch, but
I didn't do it on purpose.
Well, the bottle's right here if you need to fix.
That's true.
Okay.
This is just going to end up with a very full glass of scotch.
It's medicinal, yeah. Right?
Yes.
He's got a cold.
That's true. I have a cold. I don't have to be at work tomorrow. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of drinks, one of the things that...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We have all found more and more necessary since the Fringe Festival and the Renaissance Festival and all those many, many festivals and things we do is the need to be alert and able to get back to your day job so you can, you know, afford to keep a roof over your head.
Yep.
You know what helps that happen? Caffeine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Coke.
No.
I'm familiar with this concept as a programmer, but I don't personally indulge because I had an addiction in my college days. I had a three pot a day habit.
Oh yeah,
and I decided that was unhealthy.
Well, here's
so
how
you
we
had
can
a
tempt
pot
you.
Habit.
I did have a pot.
There you go.
I was never into Coke, so
here's how we can tempt you back into the fold.
Worst spokesman ever.
I think the A1 podcast is in agreement. The best way to get caffeine into your system is, of course, with True Stone Coffee.
My God! Right.
Because if you're going to have caffeine, I really do, and I actually do believe this. There's no better way to get caffeine into your body than coffee. Soda's fine. You can do some other things, but it's for me energy drinks, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all about coffee. I like the tried and true old school. But if you're going to do coffee,
sodas all have sugar and
shit. You
got to
drink good
and
coffee.
Preservatives.
There's a lot of bad coffee out there. In fact,
there is indeed.
You are probably within 50 feet of bad coffee right now.
I'm not.
Well, not in this house.
Not
because
in this house.
Salsa.
Well, I mean, our neighbors
drinks
might.
True Stone Coffee.
I suppose.
So you too can drink this fabulous coffee, this magical elixir keeping you awake and also tasting delightful by going to TrueStoneCoffee.com and getting yourself some coffee. And now, as a listener to this show, we feel like we need to give something back because you've been listening to this bullshit for how long? We've been doing this for like 45 minutes this
episode
alone.
Bitches.
Yep. But, as a listener to A1, you can get yourself 10% off that delicious, delicious coffee, that sweet nectar of the bean, by using the promo code...
Epipos!
Which some people like to pronounce and or spell like apropos.
If they're educated human beings.
In fact, we have a special deal with True Stone. We have two different promo codes. We have apropos or apropos. You can use either one.
Either one.
Whichever one.
Totally, totally valid.
They both work the same. You get the same discount.
And if you don't feel like breaking out a dictionary and you can spell scotch, this also works because scotch.xtlpodcast.com, which is Extreme Tasting League Scotch's website, is also powered by True Stone for those of them that drink caffeine. And when I do have that rare caffeine, I also drink True Stone because their cold press is amazing.
Their cold press
really is
so good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we talk about that almost every time we do a promo for them. And I got to tell you, it's a lot. I think most people think of just getting some beans ordered and they think of getting coffee. But take a risk, get yourself some cold press, and then hate yourself for not doing it sooner.
Oh, my God.
I actually just bought myself a pour over kit so that I can
get
some beans. And
I suddenly want
for those times that
I suddenly
want
to make a True Stone coffee cake.
Oh,
yes.
What?
There's an idea.
No, I need a coffee pie.
Pie?
Right? True Stone coffee pie.
I can make
that
this
is going to happen.
I know.
Right? I have ideas already.
Oh, my God. Make like a modified
compete
shoe fly.
For my pleasure.
Yes, basically. Right?
I better get some pie out of this.
Oh.
Or cake.
I came on the show
pie
too early.
Pie day is coming.
On pie day.
I'm writing notes.
Okay, good. So, once more, before we move on with the rest of our normally scheduled nonsense, thanks again for True Stone for sponsoring ourselves, Scotch, High Five Guys. Every good podcast at this point is getting sponsored by these guys because they're amazing. And once again, we actually do believe in the product and use it ourselves. So do us a favor by doing them a favor and getting yourself some sweet coffee and use the promo code apropos or scotch or high five or whatever it might be. Like, honestly, just support these guys for doing cool things for small podcasting artsy folk. That said, we can move into our outro with a fast five.
Fast five.
That's awesome. God damn it.
Cold brew coffee pie. Yes.
So we're still going through the dark caverns of the internet.
I can do an ancient fast five.
Yep. Actually, the next one in most ancient order is one of yours. But that's
that is awesome. Don't do it.
I'm skipping that one because despite the fact it was in 2012, you may still remember all the answers. But yeah, we were doing an ancient one. So this one comes to us from October 11th, 2012, from Garrick. who has sent in the proper format, which for those of you that may want to send in a Fast Five, which you can email to matt@a1podcast.com. Five questions, A or B, Coke or Pepsi type choices. Send one email with just the two choices and then a second follow-up email with the context that we can all play together.
I'm going to do a Cardassian Fast Five.
Awesome. And the question number one.
Wait.
Crunchy or creamy?
Oh, creamy.
Crunchy.
If we're talking peanut butter, it's got to be creamy.
It's absolutely crunchy.
Definitely creamy.
I can't have peanut butter. I'm allergic, you fucker.
There's no point to creamy peanut butter. It's got to be crunchy.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
If I wanted crunch, I would just eat peanuts.
True.
And I do. Yeah. So I have crunchy peanut butter.
I don't want to eat.
No.
So the closest I have is sunflower butter, which is really, really good, but you got to get it creamy.
I can't
get that
imagine.
Crunchy. It's just a little.
Yeah. All right.
I'll go creamy.
Extra crunchy.
Question two.
It's the only way to go.
Paper or digital?
Digital.
Paper. It's got. I'm sure.
If it's a book, it's paper.
If it's book, paper. If it's almost anything else,
then digital.
Although I am coming around to digital. Actually, I've been reading a lot of digital comics off Megan's iPad lately.
Yeah.
Totally satisfied with that. Although I'm still buying trades because
that's the thing is, if you just want to read it, then whatever. Pick your medium, but there's something
but
about
archiving
a book.
Yes.
Yeah, a book is an experience.
This is a well-worn, I think, argument that you and I are on the same side of. Yeah. Question three, east or west?
I'm going to go east.
I'm going to go with the context of which direction I want to go on my next vacation.
If
I'm going to say east because I'd like to go to the east coast.
If it's wrapped, though, I've got to go west.
Oh, good point.
I've already been to Europe,
vacation
so I think I would go
east
west over to Asia.
But I'm just thinking domestically. Like, would I rather go to like New York, which I've never been to, or like?
Did you just
LA
say west over to Asia?
I mean, technically, either way, there's no wrong answer to that because it's just eventually you get there. But
yeah, I suppose
fastest way is north. So
right, but I don't think they do that, do they?
No, but I mean, within the context of the question, what east of America is Europe and Africa, and west of America is China.
Because I think flights to Japan and such go through Honolulu or whatever. Don't they?
I answered on the idea that it was which kind of religion do you prefer, and I like Eastern over Western, but East or West. So
I'm going to go East because I think the Wicked Witch of the East got way too little stage time.
It's true. I mean, she got a SAG card, I bet.
Well, yeah.
Question four, hard or soft? I'm going to assume taco.
Oh, if it's taco, it's got to be hard. If it's
soft.
Boiled egg, it's going to be hard.
Soft.
Absolutely hard. Soft.
I really like a hard taco.
Why?
I really do.
You and Bill have this.
All it is
I know, that's where I reached
the time.
No, it's, you take one bite, and it cracks in half, and
says
now
the
you
guy
got
who likes
shit
crunchy peanut butter
everywhere.
But except that
my sandwiches aren't cracking in half and spilling shit everywhere. You take a hard shell taco, one bite, cracks down the middle, everything goes everywhere.
That just does not happen when I eat a taco.
You know what I do when I
skill check? Thank you.
You know what I do when
bad at taco.
You know what I do when I eat a hard shell taco? I take a soft shell taco, smear it in guacamole, and wrap it around the hard shell taco.
Refried beans. Yeah, that was the Bill Young Accord. That was where he and I found a compromise.
Oh, yeah, the double decker is
double decker is my ideal.
It's
but
it's the only way to eat a hard shell taco without making a fucking mess.
Unless you're not an idiot.
But I am.
I ate hard shell tacos last night, and like nothing went anywhere except in my mouth.
Matt, what are the latest tacos that you ate?
Little T's.
Bullshit.
No, literally, like they're in my fridge right now. My leftovers. I was there last night.
Yeah, I know you were there.
Oh, you mean the latest ones? Sorry, I thought you meant that like I got. No, you gave me soft shell tacos. Yeah,
there you go.
You gave me soft shell tacos. I would have ordered hard shell or double decker tacos. I'm not going to look a free taco askance and not eat it.
Really, the answer is chalupa.
No. The answer is never chalupa.
Oh, they're
so those are disgusting.
No. So good.
Often the answer is just burrito.
Also,
yes.
That.
No. Yeah. Agreed.
How do you,
I will stick to the hard shell taco.
This is not even going to be anything related.
It might have been
tacos,
Dawn and I that agreed on this one. Is the other one is the Crunchwrap Supreme, which is, again,
is
a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But, so good.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I
want more tacos.
I know.
Which is not a shell until
to be fair, that is every morning.
Now I want more tacos.
Yep. that's life. All right. Last one. Question five. Glasses or contacts?
Oh, glasses.
I think looking around the room, the answer is pretty obvious. All of us wear glasses.
I've never worn contacts, and they kind kind of creep me out a little
bit. I did wear contacts. I never got good at putting them in. The fastest I got the two in was 15 minutes. That's how bad I was.
That's about as good as I got, but I only did it for work.
Just and
for
then I got an eye infection and can't wear contacts anymore.
See, I used to wear contacts, and I could get them in fine. That wasn't ever a problem, but the problem was his allergies.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you've got allergy season would come by, and it would just be.
I'm also an eye rubber.
I'd end up wearing glasses anyway. So I finally just gave up.
I worked for 7 years in a vision clinic and watched how awfully gross people's eyes got because no one takes care of their goddamn contacts properly. And I was like, nah. Also, just too expensive for how little I'd need them.
Yeah.
I would need them for the occasional show or fest, maybe. Although fest is a terrible place to wear contacts, so they get covered in dirt and shit. And then
that's one of the places that I did wear my contacts because it was more period.
But that's also one of the worst places to wear them because you're more likely to get shit trapped under them. That's going to be bad for your eye, you know. And so like that's the thing is I was like, you know what, fuck it.
Glasses.
My prescription is not that bad, so I can do it.
Fire blasts. It was a better fuel shield.
Yeah. All right, that's our five. So, yeah. Oh, nice. There's even a caveat here for you, Jenna. Question one: crunchy or creamy? Preferred style of peanut butter, parentheses, or other nut butter if you can't do peanuts.
Wow. Yay! I think we pretty well covered that one.
Yeah. We got that.
I was right, you all were wrong.
Okay, well,
I was also right because...
Oh,
because you have a caveat. Because
I have a caveat.
Yes, but these two are wrong.
A couple of these we had totally different contexts. This will be fun. Question two, paper or digital, in which format would you rather have / buy your books?
Definitely
I think everybody we got that context and we all like our answers. So three, east or west, preferred style for animation?
Ooh. I still go east. I was correct.
The anime style?
I do like...
I like Western animation.
And I also like Cell. So it's Cell, which would you find that in?
I don't know.
I like Book of Kells.
Because like Wind Waker style Cell.
Both of them have so many things going for
them.
There's good... Yeah, there's, I mean, because I love me some Miyazaki... But you know, Ren and Stimpy, man, like, oh, so good.
Yeah, that really.
I do like Invader Zim.
Is that?
I think that's Western.
Okay,
but I grew up watching Robotech and Voltron, so East has got.
I also grew up on Voltron.
Place in my heart,
but I think Give Him a Druthers.
It's such an overgeneralization.
Because like Disney and Warner Brothers are more my wheelhouse. I think
because like the difference between Ranma 1/2 and Evangelion is so hugely drastic. And throw in,
but so
Lane
is the difference between Snow White and Ren and Stimpy.
Exactly. It's saying lumping them all together is so difficult.
But there are
pros and generalities.
With what you've named though, that only solidifies my East selection for me.
Because truly, the variety that you get on either side
Lane,
might also be what you
Lane
like
is
too.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, I think I got to go west on that. Question four: hard or soft? How do you prefer your mattress?
Hard,
hard.
I feel like
I would rather sleep on a plywood board than a bed of fucking.
I mean, I do
fluff.
Sleep on a plywood board. I'm, fest. I'm pretty comfortable.
I mean,
I just have a plank with legs.
As a guy who's a little overweight, I do need a little softness so that I can sit right. But yeah, the harder the mattress,
I gotta
I'm much
say
more likely to prefer.
Soft because I'm a chick and I have some curves and I sleep on my side. I got those hips.
Think our bed right now is. I think our bed is perfect and regularly wakes up like with sore hips every day.
And see, I think this is one of those things I always think of when people talk about like a sleep number bed is I feel like I might as well just buy a really hard mattress because I'd wanted it like if 100 is hard and 0 is soft, which I think is how that goes.
I
would want like an 88.
Yeah,
at which point
me too.
I'm probably fine with
100. I sleep a 75.
So it's like I feel like that's the thing. I'd be so far towards one end of the spectrum, I might as well just get a thing that is that end. Yeah. But you can split which side of the bed does it, right?
If you have a queen or bigger.
Yeah. So it's like, in that regard, okay, it would maybe make sense if I had a partner that was regularly sharing my bed. But
that worked nicely
like that
for me because I definitely like mine hard and she liked hers a little softer.
Yep.
So.
But yeah, I feel like I would be much farther along towards that end of the spectrum. So I use like a mattress pad and that's enough on top of a very hard mattress and then I'm good.
So a few weeks ago, my wife and I were having a conversation.
The hell you say?
I know, right?
I don't believe it.
And we were talking about, you know, the side of the bed that we sleep on and how it was just kind of randomly chosen and we just kind of fell into that.
But it yours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we actually hit upon this idea that, you know, every year or so, we would just switch.
Do you do that now?
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's no reason why this side of the bed needs to be yours and this side of the bed needs to be mine.
Irrelevant. Aside from the fact that eventually started accumulating shit on the nightstand.
Well, that's the thing. That was the only really problem is we'd have to move all the shit on the nightstand. Yep. But the other side, and like the side of the bed that, you know, is currently, quote, mine, is where all of like her dressers are and stuff like that.
Sure.
And
sure.
Doesn't it just make more sense to her to crawl out of bed and have her dressers there as opposed to going around the bed to my side in order? And, you know, it's just like, so it's like, why don't we just make this a variable as opposed to sticking with it forever?
That's an interesting experiment.
So
I think I've maybe mentioned before that I follow the rule of thumb that my first wife instilled in me, which was she never liked to sleep closest to the door. As like a paranoid, like, what if someone comes in the apartment? Right. So she always wanted me to sleep close to the door. So the side of the bed I might sleep on, depending on where we were living, would change, right or left, but it was always whatever side is closest to the door. And now that has just become my default. So when I, you know, got my house or got my new apartment, I, even alone, sleep on the side of the bed closest to the door. And then if someone stays over, then that's obviously the other side is the open side, so they sleep there. But even if I go and spend the night at someone else's house, unless they already get in bed first, I will get in on the side towards the door. And then they're like, scooch over. And they're like, oh, okay. But like, I default to side by door.
Interesting.
I
have a tendency to sleep on my right side.
I toss and turn like a toddler.
So do I.
I sleep on my back. I'm awful.
Well, no, when I fell down the stairs a couple years ago and hurt my left shoulder, like, I can't sleep on it anymore.
Fell down the stairs.
Totally. I was going to say something really awful and didn't. So anyway. Awkward.
Salsa, you too can fall down the stairs right after this podcast.
Right. Anyway,
I can't, America. And so can you.
But yeah, so I sleep on my right side, which means I tend to sleep on the,
as you're looking at it, the left side, so you're facing out of the bed or into the bed?
So I'm facing out of the bed.
Yeah. Which I usually, that's how I fall asleep.
I don't I love Jesse, but I don't want to breathe his breath.
There's no comfortable way to sleep face to face.
Not really.
You have to spoon. That's why spooning was invented.
You can kind of do a leg intertwine.
But I need a leg
either,
up.
Yeah, you're either breathing their breath or somebody's like blowing on your cheek, which is just annoying.
So it's like the mechanics of that are a nightmare.
Yeah, so I'm definitely a facing out on my right side.
That's how I always start, and then as I've like, I'll wake up barely in the middle of the night and roll to the other side, and after an hour I'll roll the other because I sleep like shit. But
if we are anywhere else other than home, then my wife will usually take the side of the bed closer to the bathroom.
There's also a smart practical concern. I guess I by default always get that because I'm always on the side closest to the door. So
I suppose
there's a one up for me.
Like once I go to sleep, I'm asleep. But you know, she'll often get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or something like that.
I get at most 2-3 uninterrupted hours. And then after that, it's up every hour.
It has been far too long since I had to worry about a side of the bed consideration because I've got a queen and I sprawl because I'm alone.
Right.
See, even with a big bed, I don't sprawl. I'm curled up on one side.
I sprawl in the middle.
But you sprawl in the middle, but there's still one side that you typically get into.
Oh, yeah,
what
side do you get in and out on? Or does that change, too?
Practicality of the room means I can only get in on the one side.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've got enough space to walk in on the far side, but why would I go for a walk to go in, to crawl into bed?
Yeah, but depending on like your dresser.
Now, which side I sleep on, I find, is dependent on how close I'm going to bed after eating. If I have eaten within the last 2 hours, I sleep on my left side. If I have not eaten within the last 2 hours, it is not guaranteed to be left, but it is likely to be right just to balance. So I switch back and forth.
What's the logic on that?
You actually digest better if you're sleeping on your left side.
That sounds crazy.
It's scientifically proven.
I mean, I assume.
I read it somewhere, and I said
it was on the internet. It must be true.
I'm going to eat, and I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to see how this plays out. And I ate spaghetti. Both nights.
I guess the exit of your stomach is up at that point, so it'd stay in your stomach longer?
I don't know the logic. All they said is sleeping on your left side is better for digestion.
Huh. Interesting.
And since I have mild acid reflux, I specifically had spaghetti to see which night was worse.
You have to sleep with like an extra pillow so you can get like the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Huh. I hate that.
And then when I do have someone sleeping over... It will depend on whether or not it was a hanky-panky sleeping over or not hanky-panky sleeping over, which side I'm on.
Mm.
Fair enough. Hanky-panky, I am sleeping on my right side. If it was not hanky-panky, I'm sleeping on my left.
I think it's really cute that you call it Anky Panky.
That's the most times you've ever had the words
so
Anky Panky spoken.
So if I have somebody over for fucking...
Also, I
think
it
wasn't necessarily fucking. See, it's Hanky Panky.
Right.
Also, I think your sexual partners would eat a chart.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Which side of the bed am I on?
It's like, well, we have a romantic dinner. So
the nature of how the evening plays out means it just happens the way it
wherever
needs
it
to
ends
happen.
Up, yeah. No. And I get that too. So
you've thought this way.
Thart.
Yes. You have thought.
Over analysis is one of my superpowers.
I just fall asleep on my back and then I wake up the next morning.
If I do that, I snore and my throat dries out. I always have to sleep on my side.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That's what I do.
I also have thought.
You're just like, fuck it.
What? This is why I had a throat issue that took me to the hospital, so this is not good.
Question 5. Glasses or contacts, which do or would you prefer to have to wear? I think we all obviously... Yeah.
Well, I do wear glasses. I really wish the contacts would have worked. Part of my thing and part of why I don't do as much acting or attempts at acting as I would like is I find that I... Whether I intend to be method or not, if I can't get fully enough into the character the way it's supposed to be in my brain,
right.
I can't get into the character. So I played Riff Raff for a number of years for the Rocky Horror Shadow cast. I cannot wear my glasses and be that character. I just, it breaks me.
I get that.
Now, is that
because you don't think the character would wear it, or is it because in the movie he doesn't wear them and therefore you've got a mental block on it?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Okay. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And so I would take the glasses off, which now makes me effectively blind, which makes me surly, which makes me perfect for Riff Raff. So it was great. And so that was that particular character. But I played a vampire character for a number of years.
Nerd.
Game different from the one I was with Salsa. That character, it was perfectly legitimate for my character to have glasses. In this other game, in theory, I should not have had glasses, but I could not get away with playing my character the way I needed to play the character. Blind, and so I had to wear the glasses, and it always
screwed me.
I could see myself having a little trouble if trying to play Jake with glasses. Like, out at Fest, I think that would constantly make me worried about that. I'd be thinking about it, and I'd be touching them all the time, and then they'd be getting...
They would get muddy and
dirty. And it's one of the reasons I have a hard time doing cosplay at Con, is there's just not a lot of long-haired, blonde characters with glasses. I let myself get away with it when I did Lucius Malfoy years ago.
Sure, sure.
Because it was the Bring on the Bad Guys year, and I wanted to do Lucius badly enough that, like, fuck it, I'm going to get past the glasses thing.
Yeah.
And it was fine. But I still was a little self-conscious about the fact that I can't do it with them. I shouldn't be wearing these glasses, and I can't wear contacts, and so it was just pissing me off.
No, I can see that making.
I consider getting LASIK, but I am also very paranoid about how that would go. And you're not supposed to rub your eyes.
Fucking shoot my eyes!
No,
bring it on!
No, I
see. That's kind of the beauty of being like ADD is I just forget I have the fuckers on.
I notice it a lot when I don't have them on because I continue to push them up. When they're not there, which means I must do it constantly without realizing it. But I'll notice it every time I forgot my glasses when I went to work and I was standing there like taking orders and I like between every like two people I'd go on my nose and nothing and I'd go I'm an idiot I look like a complete moron you know or I'll do,
you look
I'll
you actually look, you do look tired
and start trying to grab and adjust the lens and there's just nothing there so I look like a shitty mime like and
I'm adjusting my monocle.
Which means I do it all the time, even if I don't need to, because it's such a nervous tick that it just must be my physicality.
The only like, time I
do that in the shower, which is like the stupidest time ever. It's like, of course I'm not wearing my glasses now.
Yeah.
The only time I notice them is if I get like droplets or something on them that's like something is in my eyes.
It's like out at Fest. Like,
otherwise I just
it's
forget
like exceptionally
that
muddy like after hours or before
I just
the day starts.
Forget.
Yeah.
I'm still not quite bad enough to need my glasses all the time. Like, if I don't wear them, I'll get a headache.
Yeah.
So I will forget my glasses. I actually have a pair of glasses out at Fest right now. Because I was just like, I don't wear them during the day. I don't need to read anything. Everything has these convenient pictures as opposed to words. So, you know, thank you, Renaissance. But, right. But yeah, no, like, I will forget that they exist.
I used to, like, when I first got them, I'd forget them a lot, or then eventually forget I'm wearing them, but now I'm at the point where I'm so used to it that it feels, my face feels weird without
them. I'm fairly blind without them.
I'm pretty blind without them. Salsa's got a poster that's, like, 6 feet away from me that's got, what, 48, 54 size font on it. If I take my glasses on, I can make out that there's black letters there. At least I assume they're letters. It's a black blur. I get nothing.
Yeah, see, I can read the the header, but I can't read any of that.
Yeah, I can't even make out the header.
I can make stuff out across the room, but you know that thing where you like try to do a magic eye where you can feel your eyes crossing? I start to notice that I look at something
that
too far
away. That is totally me.
And that's, again, my prescription is a lot of astigmatism. And so that's why I can basically see, but I'm straining. And then
my major problem is that means that I can't identify the things around me, and I have the paranoia where I'm surprised that I don't sleep closest to the door,
sure,
so that I have an easy escape route.
Right.
I can't when I go into a restaurant. I'm always sitting, so I'm facing the door because I'm that kind of person.
Yep, I never have my back to the door in a restaurant.
So when I can't see, that. I just wig out, and it's not good.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm very fortunate that my vision's not that bad, because like with Megan, she can see about a foot in front of her face without her glasses.
Yep.
And then so she'll lay in bed and read a comic, but if I turn on the lights and go, hey, do you want this? And she has to reach over, get her glass, and put it on to see me 4 feet away. And it's just like, it's bizarre.
No, we could save that for another day.
Fair enough. Yeah. Let's get some sleep, guys.
Yeah,
Yet another long week, and we've got a three-day weekend at the Renaissance Festival ahead of us, which I forgot about entirely until my coworker
mentioned it. Yeah, I was reminded at work
it.
Today that we had a meeting with her CEO saying, well, when she gets back on Tuesday, because our boss is gone for vacation right now. Like, Tuesday? Oh, right.
Yep.
And I'm like, yes, I get an extra day. Wow.
Yeah. And we're all like, woo, an extra day of work.
So this is something we should probably bring up to our listeners. I'm going to throw this out quickly because we're going to be bitching about this next weekend. You can bet your ass. Opening weekend, it rained.
Yeah.
And then this last weekend, it rained.
Yeah.
But thankfully, this weekend, it's going to rain two of those days. We're going to have thunderstorms on fucking Sunday and Monday. Oh, my God. It's going to be so fucking miserable.
I will tell you, I love the folks that show up when it's rainy.
Oh my God.
They're always great. And so if you're one of those folks that shows up, thank you. And if you want to be someone that shows up in the rain, trust me, you'll still get a good show.
Oh, my God.
You'll just be the person that gets to see it from right up close.
Just not for me.
You might get a better show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because you won't get a show from me.
Your act is specifically dangerous.
Yeah. So Salsa won't be performing those days, so you will get a better show.
More time to watch us. Yeah.
More time to watch the good acts.
There is a picture of me on Facebook right now that Jamie Larson took.
Mm.
Amazing photographer, and it's me dancing in the rain, and it is currently my favorite picture ever.
Yep.
Can I just
take a moment to say, I don't think I've ever truly appreciated how much the festival photographers, awesome they are. Because there is an army of them.
Yep.
And all of them take amazing pictures.
Yeah.
And holy shit, all of those
there have been a number of times
amazing.
Where I've wanted to get into photography as a hobby because I know how many people, not realizing it, come to appreciate their photographers.
Oh, for sure.
And I have enough ins with enough different crowds that where photography would be something that would be useful that I could actually make use of the hobby. My mom was an amateur photographer. She could have actually done pro if she had the pretty decent equipment for an amateur. She kind of instilled some of the love of that, but it's an art I've never really practiced, and I don't personally like having my own picture taken.
Well,
so
if you're behind the camera, you're safe. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be the one thing that would get me out to Fest as an employee would be to be with a photographer.
I spent so many years just one face amongst many in a group, and the people in charge were the ones taking care of all of, photography sessions and stuff like that. So all of the photographers out there, I didn't really know them, but this year I'm really becoming appreciative of each individual one and their different eye for framing and stuff like that, and just how cool those guys are to just go out there, and basically that's what their job is at festivals, to take pictures all day.
Yep. And we are never in a position to take pictures of ourselves or each other out there because we're performing and we're in character. And so, any picture you've ever seen me post on my Facebook of me at Fest was taken by someone kind enough to take that photo of me. And there's so many cool ones, you know. Like, and every year when I change my during Fest, I always change my profile pic to some picture from Fest. And every year, a few new people see it and comment on how great it is. And that's why I always make sure the photographers tag, so even 4 years later, they can get the compliments that are due to them for their amazing work. So
big solid shout out to all the photographers.
Yeah, for sure,
there.
Much appreciated. All right, guys.
At the Fringe Festival.
CDS, do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, I am a CDS Scotch Bringer because I have a Scotch Tasting podcast, which you can find at scotch.xtlpodcast.com. That is an X, you know, that letter that's barely used.
It's going to give it to you.
Because we can't, you know, spell extreme properly because we're kids that way.
Yes.
But it's extreme.
Extreme.
That was not my choice of name for the podcast either. I mean, I'm responsible for everything. I pay for everything, but I didn't even get to name the fucking thing. So.
Story of my life. It's like my kids.
You walked into that, though. That's true. You
know, in a world.
Buyer's remorse? I don't know.
In a world where one man has the bankroll, but doesn't know how to make decisions for himself.
Oh, no, I know how to make decisions. I just delegated that one, and that particular decision was a
in a world where a man delegates the stupid shit instead of doing it himself.
That's accurate. There you go. I would support this film.
Anyway, finish your plug.
Coming this Halloween.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. That was okay. The website. That's the show.
It's on iTunes and shit.
It is on iTunes, I believe. The Google Play thing, I tried to get it set up, and I created an image that they said was big enough, and it still doesn't want to go. So I don't know what's going on there, and I've not even tried to look at Stitcher. So
there you go.
iTunes.
You can find it.
Google. The best way is just just go to our site.
There you go.
Because cool. We've not been hacked.
And we'll all be out at the Renaissance Festival for the foreseeable future. And you can catch us out there. So do that if you have a mind to. It's always fun to meet people out there. And I think with that, we're done for the week. Yeah? Do we have anything else you have to make sure we cover? Feels pretty good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Oh,
here it comes.
There are auditions for Klingon Christmas Carol.
Oh, true that.
Tomorrow night and Friday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up. Just look up Klingon Christmas Carol MN and you'll find the audition notice. You should do that because I'm the violence choreographer.
Woo-hoo. There you go.
And conceivably, I might be on a couple of other podcasts this month too because I'm a podcast whore that way.
There you go.
Yeah.
When in doubt, podcast more.
Yeah. Yep. Audition for me, bitches.
Yeah. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.